listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Erin Billings of Roll Call Newspaper. We want to talk to her and get a sense of how the confirmation process up on Capitol Hill is likely to go now that President Obama has named his choice of Appellate Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor to replace the retiring Supreme Court Justice David Souter. And Erin, always good to have you with us.
Good afternoon.
We've heard a lot about this speculation, obviously, surrounding this pick. We've heard from both parties even before we knew that it was going to be Sonia Sotomayor. Obviously, Democrats control the process. They have a huge majority, including on the committee. They're inclined to support the president's choice. So is this going to be a relatively smooth confirmation process?
Well, I mean, that's what we're hearing right now. Republicans are going to try and slow walk it. They don't want to rubber stamp this. They don't want this to go through without a hitch. The conservative judicial groups are obviously clamoring. They want a little bit of a fight. And so I think the Republicans are at least going to try to vet this nominee with some deliberance. And so they're going to take their time. Having said that, they really can't stop it. I mean, you know, you've got 59 seated Senate Democrats right now. We've already heard from Olympia Snowe from Maine, who's signaling her support for this nominee. So I think it's going to be tough to stop it, but it's certainly they're going to try to sweat out the months of summer, so this takes some time.
The interesting thing about politics is that often the way a situation is exactly the opposite a few years later. The president, George W. Bush, had a Republican Senate for his two nominees, John Roberts and Sam Alito. Now it's a Democratic president and a democratically controlled Congress. Back then, it was the Republicans saying, you know, that the Democrats are being too harsh. They even tried to filibuster Sam Alito. Democrats say that Republicans could perhaps be too harsh this time around. What do you expect here? Is it turnaround as fair play if the Republicans try to go after this nominee?
Oh, politics is in the eye of the beholder, I think. You know, certainly there is always the risk of going too far and being, you know, too staunch in their opposition. Having said that, you know, this is a big deal. This is a lifetime appointment. This is the highest court in the land. There are only 9 members. And so I don't think Republicans are willing to let anything go by easily. I think we're going to hear a lot of rhetoric. They are going to look through every decision she's ever been a part of. They're going to, you know, vet every little piece of her background and her experience so they can, you know, they're going to nitpick, and you're going to hear about it. Having said that, like I said earlier, I don't think that they're going to trip it up, and you know, there may be some talk of a filibuster by a conservative or two, but I think at the end of the day, she's going to go through, and I think she'll probably go through with a decent and healthy majority of the Senate.
We're talking with Erin Billings of Roll Call, and Erin, was there any surprise at this selection? We knew she was on the short list by most estimations, but any surprise at all that she was the actual pickup on the Hill?
You know, a lot of people saw her as probably the longest, well, I wouldn't say the longest shot, but she was certainly the least of the consensus nominees. There were 4 finalists, as you may well know, Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary, Elena Kagan, who is the Solicitor General, Diane Wood, who's a justice on the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and then Sonia Sotomayor, and she, as you know, also a appellate court justice on the 2nd Circuit Court, and a lot of people saw her as perhaps the most, I don't want to say incendiary, because she's certainly not that, but she was not going to be as appealing to the Republicans as the other 3 may have been. So from that standpoint, there was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, having said that, everything we're hearing from the White House is that the president himself, after he met with her, she was spent 7 hours at the White House. He was incredibly impressed with her life story. Apparently, he felt very personally affected by it. You know, he didn't have a lot to lose, if you think about it. I mean, this is a guy whose popularity is in the 60s. You know, this is not going to change the political bent, or, you know, I mean, I don't know if I should use the word political, but it shouldn't change at least the balance of the court. Souter tended to side with David Souter, who's retiring, as you mentioned, tends to side with the more left-leaning members of the court, so it's not going to really shake up the balance. So he knew he could, you know, he could play his hand, and he did.
Erin, in terms of the Republicans going over the record carefully, a couple of things that have come up since the Souter retirement was announced. are those comments that Sotomayor made at Duke University Law School about the appellate court making policy, and then a court that just went to the Supreme Court that her court heard earlier about a possible reverse discrimination involving firefighters. Are those the major issues we're likely to hear Republicans bring up in the next couple months or whenever these hearings are held?
Well, as you know, this announcement is very young. I mean, we just got it at 10:15 this morning, so I'm sure that new things will crop up. But those are the two things we're hearing about so far. You know, the Republicans have said, and they have always said, they don't want a judicial activist. They don't want someone who is going to, quote, legislate from the court. And so her comments that you mentioned, where she was talking about how judges can make policy. Now, she kind of said it in a quip, but having said that, that's the big argument the Republicans make, and that's their big concern about the Supreme Court. They do not want someone who is going to try and be an activist judge. So I'm certain that will be part of the discussion in the Senate when we get these confirmation hearings underway in the Judiciary Committee, and also when it goes to the Senate floor.
What do we know about how the vetting process went? It was supposed to go well for the cabinet secretaries, and we had a couple of tax issues pop up in there, including one that cost Tom Daschle a spot in the cabinet. Do we know that this was a pretty thorough vetting process?
Well, that's what we've been told. Then again, we were told that there was a thorough vetting of all those other nominees that got tripped up, and you mentioned Tom Daschle. So for the Obama administration's sake, I'm guessing that everyone's hoping, at least that their allies are hoping, that they have crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, because the last thing they want is for this nominee to be derailed because she was not appropriately vetted.
Aaron, unfortunately, our time is up. Thanks as always for your time.
You bet.
Aaron Billings of Roll Call Newspaper. When we come back on Dateline Washington, inside a major legal decision by the California Supreme Court upholding the traditional definition of marriage. Stay with us.